This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Hallelujah. Can you just turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 3? Okay, we're going to start from verse 21. It's right in the middle of John the Baptist has got up and preaching repentance, and all the people were coming to be baptized by him. So from verse 21, I want to read. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." I'm going to come back to that. And then he goes through a whole list of genealogy there. I'll read a little bit. Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janna, the son of Joseph, the son of Mathiah, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Eslai, the son of Nagai, and it goes through a whole list of sons all the way through the Old Testament, right up to, all the way back to Adam. And I'm just going to read the last few verses of that chapter. The son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, I shouldn't have picked that one. The son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel. The son of Canaan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. 75 sons in total there. 75 is the number of separation, purification, all the way from the son of Adam to the son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the 75th son in the Bible. 75 is the number of separation, purification, cleansing. But I just want to focus on that word, the Son. Adam, the Son of God. And do you know, when Jesus was baptized, the heavens were opened and the Father spoke from heaven. The voice that came said, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." And, you know, what an incredible thing. Jesus hadn't done anything yet. He hadn't begun his ministry yet, because in the Old Testament, no priest could start their ministry until the Levites couldn't start in ministry until they were 30 years of age. Remember, Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. He fulfilled it all. So at 30 years of age, he began his ministry. He hadn't done anything yet. But the Father speaks to him and says, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." And I want to talk about the affirmation of God our Father. But you know, when I read through that whole list, all the way back to Adam, the Son of God. What happened to Adam, the Son of God? And we're all included in that, is that he sinned and the relationship with the Father was broken. It was cut off, it was separated. And not only Adam, but the Bible says that every single one of us has been separated from God because of sin, because we're all born into Adam. And there's that longing of a son to hear the Father's affirmation. And it isn't until Jesus Christ comes that we hear the Father saying, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." In other words, I love you, I'm proud of you. Hadn't done anything. You know, and I remember reading in John chapter 13, where it says, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, and Pam, as you brought it out so powerfully there, You know, he didn't miss that time. His hour had come. His soul was in an agony. He knew what was coming. And yet he did not miss that time. It says when he knew what was going to happen to him, his disciples were with him. You would have thought at that time he would have been allowed a bit of me time. You know, just for me. Well, heck, I'm just about to go to the cross. I'm just about to get whipped, beaten. He knew all that was going to happen. What about a bit of me time for me? Isn't that what we say? But what did he do? He says, knowing the time had come. It says also knowing where he had come from. He knew who he was. He knew where he was going. And the Bible says he took off his outer clothing and he girded himself with a towel and he began to wash the disciples' feet. You know, you would have thought he was the one that had a need at that point of time, but it wasn't him, it was the disciples. He said the disciples and probably everybody at that point of time was thinking, well, we need a saviour, we need a deliverer, we need a king, we need a prophet, we need a mighty man of God, we need somebody who will get rid of the Roman government, all our problems will be over, we need somebody to heal all our diseases, all of our problems will be over, we need somebody who can provide all of our needs, all of our problems will be over. Yes, we need those things. But that's not the deepest need in the heart of every man, every woman born into this world. There is a lack of affirmation as to who we really are. You just think about what Jesus, all his ministry was started with that affirmation of the Father. You're my beloved Son. I love you. I'm proud of you. Everything he did was out from that affirmation of the Father. He didn't have to prove anything. He didn't have to, you know, what happens very shortly after this, he's baptized with the Holy Spirit. He goes out into the wilderness, led by the Spirit, by the way, there. And what does the devil say? If you're the Son of God. There was no doubt. He resisted the devil. He resisted every temptation that the devil threw upon him, not because he prophesied so wonderfully and every word that he spoke was true, not because he raised the dead, not because he healed the sick, not because he opened blind eyes. He resisted the devil because he knew who he was and he had the Father's affirmation, "You are my beloved Son. I'm so proud of you." It was a relationship which was his strength. And that's for every single one of us. And I want to show you that in Christ Jesus, every one of us has the Father saying to us, he says to you, Tim, "I love you." There. He loves you, Tim, and he's absolutely proud of you. Nigel, he loves you. He's absolutely proud of you. Melinda, he loves you. He's absolutely proud of you. You know what immediately comes up in our minds? What about my failures? What about where I've missed it? What about where I've failed you, God? That doesn't come into his mind because you are in Christ Jesus. See, the basis of our relationship with God is not on our performance. It's not on whether you fasted for 40 days. It's not on whether you pray every day, you read your Bible every day. You only do those things because you love the Father. Everything that we do in those spiritual activities must come out of our love for the Father. If it doesn't come out of that, we're trying to gain approval. We're trying to earn approval, and we can never earn it by fasting, praying, reading your Bible. The only way you can earn it is through Christ Jesus. And God has made it simple so that everybody can get a hold of it. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever, how many losers in here? Oh, only me. Okay, I'll cover this. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You know what Jesus said? This is eternal life, that you might know me. You see, it's all about relationship. What an incredible, incredible salvation that we have had. I've got to confess something here. You know how God can speak to you and you can miss it? Has anybody ever had that? God speak to you just totally. Yeah. I had that too. I was told, no, Ben, it won't include you. It's all right. Ben's free.
She's bracing herself. Like...
But I was told by a couple of different people before we went on the cruise. Ben didn't give you any details, did she? Yeah. It was too long in a boat for me. 12 days is too long. But man, food's laid out, everything's on it. Wonderful. But too long in a boat for me. But did enjoy. We had a great time together and it was lovely. But I was told by a couple of different people that God was going to speak to me on the cruise. Anyway, I went for the cruise, come home, and we're at the intercessors. And Lillian, where are you? Frank, Lillian, you're not here today? No. Well, Lillian asked the intercessors, what did God say to you? Because I'd asked him to pray for me. But I didn't miss it. I said, oh, I must have missed it. And anyway, then the next day, so that maybe got me thinking about it. The next day, the next day, I actually dropped in to see you, Bernie. And just chatting away. And Bernie just made a comment about how important a father's love is to daughters. Do you remember that? Anyway, it reminded me of something that maybe God had been speaking to me. On the cruise, there were films showing at certain times, and I reluctantly stopped to watch a film in the pool area. They had a screen up, and they were showing Cinderella. And I thought, I don't really want to watch Cinderella. Not for a macho man like that. So anyway, but I sat there watching Cinderella, and I realised that as I was watching Cinderella, you know, the rejected, neglected, overlooked girl, her sisters go to the ball and she's overlooked. I'm just watching this. Oh yeah, I know this story. Yeah, been there, seen this before, know all about it. And anyway, gets a beautiful dress, and suddenly I don't know what happened, I was looking at her getting very emotional, realising how it's like that word, Gay, that you had about the father. I had this father's heart come on me, and I just realised how incredibly beautiful every girl is. Every woman, every girl is, I know I'm winning favour with the girls here, but every woman, every girl is incredibly precious. I just had this sense that my own daughters, and every girl, particularly ones that have been overlooked and felt overlooked, maybe don't feel they measure up to the standard of the world, but I just saw an incredible beauty in every woman, every girl, and it needs to be seen. And I felt, it was quite overwhelming, actually, just the impact. And then got back into the food and drink and forgot about God, and other things. God just forgot it. And so Bernie speaking to me about a father's love reminded me of it. And then that night, we're sitting down watching the telly, and there's a, some lady documenting two young girls' lives in Brazil. Anybody had seen it, but they were having debutante balls, both of them, 15-year-olds. One was from an extremely wealthy family. There was no expense spared for her debutante coming out ball. Even had movie star to come and dance with her at her debutante ball. And wonderful, she was so blessed in it. And then the other was the other extreme. From a very poor family, a 15-year-old girl, and had no means of being able to have anything like that. She was, for from a family where the mother was trying to support the family. Her father was gone and she had to look after her siblings. So she was in the morning, no free time. She had to look after the younger ones and cook for them and all this sort of thing as well. But it was the police association in Brazil that put on a debutante ball for young girls and took them to a place where all these, I think it was second-hand dresses, that they could pick and choose and wear a beautiful dress and had a special ball, they could dance with these police officers. And I just realised it was that affirmation that is so needed. It's the affirmation of a father that we all need, all hunger for and all thirst for. So I'm not going to lose that, and I think that's why I'm repeating it. God can speak and so quickly can get taken away because of the busyness of life. I mean, I've got to work, I've got to pay the bills, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do... And we get caught up in those things, and God wants us at times to be still and know that He is God. We can't, you know, we get so caught up, you know, stop your rush. I remember a song, a guy, Len McGee, he wrote this song, "Stand and stop and think, man. Stand and ponder. Stop your rush. Consider why God's own son should die there yonder, spurned, ignored by you and I." You know, they're powerful words, and we're so caught up in life and what we've got to do. One thing is necessary. One thing is needed. And that's the affirmation, knowing that God loves us. Everything that Jesus did was out of that affirmation of who He was, knowing who He was. Out of that, He knew what He was sent to do. And, you know, we are called ambassadors. We're ambassadors for Christ. What? To bring people back into relationship with God. You can't, if you haven't got a relationship yourself, how can you bring somebody else into a relationship? You know, I'm not saying that to say you've got to pray more or you've got to read your Bible more. No, it's just stop. Stop and think what Jesus has done, why He has done it. This is the message that we've heard from the beginning. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, we've handled, it's 1 John, we've handled Him, we've heard Him, we ate with Him. This is the message. God is light, in Him is no darkness at all. This is the message, that we can have fellowship with God, not by you praying harder, not by you believing all those words, but simply believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, here's what happens. It's through the foolishness of preaching the gospel that we're saved. Mm. Whoever hears and believes is saved. What's the message? God so loved the world, He sent Jesus. Whoever believes in Him, He died in our place. He paid the price that was... for our separation from God. He paid it completely so that we can be reconciled with God. God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him should be saved. That's our message. We have a relationship with God that cannot be broken. We have a relationship with our God who says, "I will never leave you or forsake you, even to the end of the ages." That does allow freedom. We can walk away from God if we want, but He will never walk away from us. Never. He is with us always. So when we are born again, it's actually a work of the Spirit of God. You know what? Nicodemus comes along to Jesus, right, in John 3, and he says, "We know you must be a teacher sent from God, because no one can do the miracles you do unless God is with him." Got a relationship, hasn't he? He's got a relationship. And so, what does Jesus tell Nicodemus? He says, "Nicodemus, you must be born again. You've got to be born again." He said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." Well, how many of us are born of the flesh? All of us. bonds its flesh. And flesh and blood will never inherit the kingdom of God. He said, you must be born again. And we're born again when we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. The Christ means the Holy. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, the anointing. So what happens if we, what does it say? We believe in our heart, Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's risen from the dead, and we confess it with our mouth. You know, that's why it's so important to speak out, to declare out, to speak it out. It's almost like teaching little children to speak. It's important to teach children to speak, isn't it? It's important to teach them good manners, to say please and to say thank you. It's important to teach those things, and we do that with our children. We put words in their mouths, and we teach them how to speak. And as they learn, that gives them a power. It makes way for them. They can begin to communicate more their needs and what they want to do, and want others to know what they're wanting to do as well. It brings a power into our lives, doesn't it? Think about it. If you can't talk, there's going to be an incredible lack. That's why it's important that we learn to speak. And God says the word is near you. It's not far off. It's near you. It's in your heart and it's in your mouth. That's why it's important to speak the word of God, to quote it. When you're in a difficulty, begin to speak the word of God. Trust him. It's in your heart. This is where we get the confusion. It's in our heart, and the devil works in our minds, oh, that's just being silly, oh, it's just being arrogant, oh, this is what people think about you, fears and anxieties and doubts, and he tries to short-circuit it. But he just wants us to be like a little child, speak his word, because he's put it in our heart and he's put it in our mouth for a reason. Begin to speak. So what happens? We believe in Jesus Christ and we confess, we speak with the mouth that he's Lord. You, Jesus, you are Lord. It's the word of God. It's alive and it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It works.
Yeah.
It works. We begin to speak it, and it works. And what happens is the Spirit of God comes upon us. We're born again of his Spirit. You know what the Bible says? That we actually receive the Spirit of adoption. It's in Romans 8 and Galatians 4, it says that we receive the Spirit of adoption and we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Relationship. How awesome is that? How incredible is that? Our Father is speaking to us. He's affirming us in him, affirming our hearts, so that a divine confidence is inspired in us. Knowing who we are in Christ, not self-confidence, which can be so brittle. Self-confidence is reliance on our own abilities, our own talents, our own strengths, our own achievements, looks, etc. But a God confidence. Our Father owns heaven and earth. We don't have anything to prove, everything to gain. It's all ours in Christ Jesus. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe he is Lord and he becomes the Lord of our life. Everything that he has is ours. That's what the scripture says. That's why we receive that spirit of adoption, the same spirit that the Bible says raised Christ from the dead, comes on us and we cry out, Abba, Father. You ever had that at times when you know something's coming up, you just want to declare it? You know, with me, it's often at crisis points. You know, I'm struggling to work things out. I'm struggling with my mind to decide what's wrong, right or wrong, or what I should do or how I should do it. And it's often at a crisis point where I come to, you know, just wanting to chuck it all in, and suddenly I'll turn to God. I'll turn to my Father and realize there's a much easier way. God is so good. He's our Father. So when, as I say, he spoke to me on the boat, and how every single one of you is incredibly important. You heard the word this morning that Gay had, that the Father looking at you as a son, as a daughter, he is proud of you, he loves you. You know what Jesus said? So Tom, I just want to finish with the scripture. In John chapter 14, the whole issue is about our hearts. We're always trying to work things out in our mind, but it's your heart that needs the assurance that only the Father, only God can give by his Holy Spirit, assuring our hearts. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Yeah. I almost like to use the word home there. When you've got a family, you've got a home. I go to prepare a place, a home for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, this might sound confusing. So Thomas says to him, Lord, where the heck are you going? Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Listen to what Philip said. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. Can you hear him crying out? The real need in his own heart is for the Father's affirmation. So what does Jesus say? Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Some translations are comforter there. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Listen to verse 18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And how does he do that? By the power of the Holy Spirit. He comes so that we know we're not alone and we follow him at all times. So I want to do something, because that orphan, if you've got an orphan mentality, you're comfortless. That's why the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. And he wants to comfort your heart, because that's where the real need is. No one wants to feel like an orphan. The orphan thinks, you know, no father, no mother. There's always a sense of lack. There was a scripture say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He's much more than he's our Father. He will meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. As physical needs, but it's much more. It's a need of the heart to know the affirmation of a
Father. Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.